as if we needed one more thing in 2020 to divide us, one more thing to get people wound up and kind of mad and, you know, choosing sides and then retreating to our silos like we do so often this year. The passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg has done that. I saw a picture of a woman holding up a sign outside the memorial there. There's sort of a, you know, makeshift memorial there outside the Supreme Court building in Washington. Her sign read, 2020 is ruthless. Ruthless. And no sooner did the news of her death break that you immediately saw the politics come out and seizing the moment. I felt like it was just a little disrespectful the way that all happened. There's time to remember her legacy, and maybe the weekend would have been the right amount of time. It didn't feel like it was the right amount of time when the news broke, that it just quickly shifted that way. And there is enough hypocrisy to go around, for sure. We've got Republicans and Democrats feeling exactly the completely different opposite than they did exactly when Obama was trying to get Merrick Garland on the court. And their sound bites do not age very well at all, because they're now all flipping and feel exactly the opposite way about everything. We'll get to all that. I do want to just talk a little bit about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Renato Mariotti is with us. Hey, Renato, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. You know, it's been a weekend, and I think people are absorbing her legacy. I've seen here, even in Chicago, her son lives here, and so people have kind of been going to that location. I think he had, what is it, a record store? They were fans of classic music, he and his mom, and so that's happening. And you've got the Holocaust Museum accepting people to reserve, reserve position applications, or however they do it, reserve a space to be able to go to the RBG exhibit there. But, you know, I just want to you understand the political game. You also understand the law. And I just wonder your thoughts about how we move forward from here, what you're seeing, what you're noticing.
Sure. Well, first of all, look, Justice Ginsburg was an absolute giant. And, I read the memories that and memorials that have been said from the various Supreme Court justices. And I thought one point Justice Souter raised that was important is that Justice Ginsburg is someone who was famous and created a legacy for herself in the law before she was a Supreme Court justice. You know, she had a path-breaking series of cases back in, the 70s, 80s, where she was working to promote equality for women at a time when it was not recognized that the Constitution promoted full equality for women and protected women from unequal treatment. So really a pioneer even before she became a Supreme Court justice. So she was a big figure. She's somebody whose legacy is greater than the typical Supreme Court justice. In other words, what she meant to a lot of people is something greater. I think a good analogy might be Thurgood Marshall, who was an African-American lawyer who pioneered, was a pioneer for civil rights and created the circumstances that led to Brown versus Board of Education and then became a Supreme Court justice later on. So obviously there's a lot going on here. What I am seeing is obviously it looks like the Republicans are moving very quickly to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They have, it looks like they have the votes to do so. It looks like they have the time to do so. And I think, it appears that they've made the calculation that having that shift in power in the Supreme Court is worth whatever consequence there would be electorally. And it's beyond my knowledge as to whether or not that's going to benefit them in the polls or not, but they've made the calculation that they will. And the Democrats have limited ability to slow them down or stop them from doing so.
Yeah, and so I think that becomes the political battle of the whole thing. And like I said, you've got Lindsey Graham. That soundbite was played back over and over this weekend from when he said that, I'll eat my words, that you should not make you should not make this determination before the election. You should wait. And then, there's a Barack Obama soundbite that's floating around today, too, that's also about how the sitting president should make this pick, no matter when it happens, even in an election year. So there's enough of hypocrisy to go around. It does feel to me as if they will move forward with a pick. Will they get the votes? What will happen next?
Yeah, I think that it looks like they're going to have the votes, but it's tight enough that it's not certain because at least two Republican senators have come out and said that they won't. Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins have said that they wouldn't support doing this at least until after the election. And so, it's not 100% guaranteed, but if Republicans do have the votes, Based on, you know, I've had conversations with staffers in Senate Judiciary, and it looks like they don't really have a lot of options to stall this. And so what is the impact that this is going to have? Well, first of all, for a period of time, we're going to have a deadlocked court potentially where you have 8 votes, so you can have a 4-4 tie. When that happens, it means that the lower court decision stands, and that happened quite a bit in the many months between, I think it was February of 2016 into 2017, when there was only 8 justices on the court the last time before Justice Gorsuch was appointed and confirmed. So, you know, that could have an impact in the short term because, for example, the Affordable Care Act was struck down by a court of appeals.
Renato, can you hold that thought? Because that is an important thing that we need to discuss. Can you hang on just for a second?
Sure.
We get to the bottom of the hour news and come back and revisit that. Former prosecutor, former federal prosecutor, Renato Mariotti is our guest. And Renato Mariotti, I'm going to go back to you. And you mentioned something pretty important right before the break there, that this isn't just about politics or partisan infighting, because there's a lot of that. But it's actually, this is relevant, right? The Supreme Court, who sits on it, the decisions that are made impact all of our lives.
That's right. This is about power and the ability to potentially strike down laws or reshape the law in a way that affects all of us. So, right now, we're in the middle of a pandemic. There are a lot of people who are very focused, obviously, on their health care coverage. Some people are relying on the Affordable Care Act for their health insurance. And you should know that there's a court of appeals in the southern that covers some of the southern states. I actually clerked for that court of appeals years ago. And they struck down provisions of the Affordable Care Act. And under what I think most legal experts would regard as pretty flimsy reasoning, and there was an expectation that the Supreme Court was going to reverse that decision and keep the Affordable Care Act intact. Well, now that there are only 8 justices on the Supreme Court, presuming that, let's just say that this is heard before the new justice is confirmed, then you would have a deadlock, and even if, for example, Chief Justice Roberts voted to uphold the Affordable Care Act, as he's done in the past, you could have a 4-4 tie that would leave the decision intact, striking down the Affordable Care Act to generate more litigation until potentially you have the 9th justice come on the scene and rehear the case, generating at the very least a lot of uncertainty for folks. And then, of course, if there is a justice who is appointed who wants to strike down the Affordable Care Act, that would be a change because Justice Ginsburg voted to uphold it on multiple occasions, and we could see the Affordable Care Act gone permanently.
Yeah, you know, I want to mention that the president has said, President Trump has said by the end of the week, Friday, Saturday, that he will have his shortlist, his 4 or 5 judges, and pretty swiftly move after that. Top of the list, many say, is someone who's here in the Chicago area, Amy Coney Barrett, right? Amy Coney Barrett is her name. Her name came up before, the last time when Kavanaugh was chosen, too. She's a Trump appointee. She's on the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals. She is somebody who would appeal to the very conservative side of the party.
That's right. She's somebody who I think it's safe to say has very strongly, deeply felt the religious views. She's a Catholic. And she is, I think, seen by many as a very reliable vote to strike down Roe versus Wade. And so on those issues in particular, I could see there being a monumental shift. Given that Ruth Bader Ginsburg supported reproductive rights. So that would be a shift. And she is, by all accounts, the leading candidate. Apparently, President Trump had made a comment to someone that he was saving her, quote-unquote, for the potential Ginsburg opening. So she is a judge in the Court of Appeals that sits here in Chicago that covers 3 states, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana, where she is from.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Wasn't Garland originally from this area too? Obama's pick that didn't come here. Yeah, so there's Chicago connections all around. Here's something, Renato, that's being tossed out there. Because the political battle is another piece of this. And so you've got, well, if you nominate, if you put her through the confirmation hearings and if you move forward with this, Republicans, Democrats are now saying, well, what we're going to do is if we win or we take control of Congress, we're going to expand the court from 9 justices to 13. And so there.
Yeah, I will say that first of all, that is something that the size of the court is not defined in the Constitution. It is a federal law that establishes it. And this isn't the first time that idea has come up. It actually very famously came up during the New Deal when Franklin Roosevelt was elected by very sweeping supermajorities and had a Supreme Court that was striking down his laws that him and the Congress were passing. And so he threatened to, as they call it, pack the court with additional justices. And there was a justice who changed his views and started upholding President Roosevelt's newly passed laws. And there's a phrase called the switch time that saved nine. And the idea that it saved the nine-person Supreme Court. It's certainly possible. I will say that there's obviously a lot of anger and bitterness on the left at the fact that, you know, President Obama nominated the Supreme Court Justice Merrick Garland in February of an election year. So that's, you know, whatever, 9 months before an election. Here you have a seat opening up, what, 45 days or so before an election. Yeah, something like that. And the Republicans are switching course. They blocked it before throughout almost a full year because President Obama had 11 months, I think, left in his presidency. And here, you know, with just a short amount of time, they're pushing this through. I will say that back in 1986, there was a very brutal confirmation fight over Robert Bork, and that galvanized Republicans for decades and resulted in a huge push to bring conservative justices to the court. So I would not be surprised if these moves by Republicans are felt by Democrats for many decades to come and results in them focusing their attention on the court more than they had in the past.
You mentioned the reversal of positions. Let's play some of that audio, the sound bites I was talking about earlier. Senator Lindsey Graham, if you haven't heard it, this has been playing all weekend long because he's not exactly saying then what we think he's going to say now.
I want you to use my words against me. If there's a Republican president in 2016 and a vacancy occurs in the last year of the first term, you can say Lindsey Graham said, let's let the next president, whoever it might be, make that nomination. And you could use my words against me and you'd be absolutely right.
There you go, Renato. A lot of people talking about that because I'm guessing that's not how he's going to feel now, right?
He's already said publicly and his reasoning for it is pretty flimsy. And I think, you know, I think everyone should just own, I think it's, we should just to be a very, or to be real here, this is about power. And the Republicans had the power to block Garland, and they did it. And now they have the power to do this, and they're doing that. And it's really about what you can get away with doing. I wouldn't try to suggest that it's anything more than that.
All right, let's hear President Obama's soundbite, too. He was on the record on something on this back then, and here's what he had to say.
When there is a vacancy on the Supreme Court, the President of the United States is to nominate someone. The Senate is to consider that nomination and either they disapprove of that nominee or that nominee is elevated to the Supreme Court. Historically, this has not been viewed as a question. There's no unwritten law that says that it can only be done on off years. That's not in the constitutional text.
And Senator Schumer and Pelosi and others, other top Democrats who also are on the record saying the same thing, right? It's just this total flip.
That's right. Yeah, it is. I think they would say, of course, you know, they did it first. And I think we've gotten to a point in our politics that there's this sort of they did it, whether, you know, here they're saying they did it first, but the Republicans, a big part of the justification that they've offered, many senators have publicly said, well, if the Democrats were in our shoes, they would do the exact same thing. And, or, you know, and they're bad, they would do worse things. I mean, I think the reality is both sides are essentially, the Republicans are saying they're doing what they, you know, we're doing what they would do, and they would do whatever they could get away with. And Democrats have totally flipped because they said, well, hey, this happened to us last time. Now you've created the rule. You got to keep it consistent. The reality of the matter is it's being applied inconsistently, and it's being applied inconsistently because Republicans had the power to do so on both occasions.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Let's take a call here because on the subject we just touched on here, Renato. Phil, go ahead. You're on WGN. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hi, Ann. I just wanted to ask your guest there. Sure. There's a famous senator who's quoted in the Wall Street Journal today. He said at the time, whichever party holds the presidency in the Senate, regardless of the time frame, they should vote for whoever's going to be on the Supreme Court. That famous senator was named Joe Biden.
Ooh. Hello. All right, Phil, let's listen to Renato's answer on that. Renato, what I wasn't aware of that exact quote from Biden, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that you are, I think that Senate Majority Leader McConnell had originally when he had proposed his rule blocking this, had said that was the Biden rule. And it claimed that Biden said the opposite. But I wouldn't surprise me if Senator Biden had said that in the past, or Vice President Biden had said that in the past. I think, as you pointed out, there is a people on both sides have taken differing positions on this, and now they're taking, in some cases, the exact opposite. And it's very much, I think, driven by what you can get away with doing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I guess my bet is if we thought the Kavanaugh hearings were ugly and partisan and just wow, I can't imagine what this round will be like should it get to that point.
Yeah, I think it's going to really be something. I think these hearings are going to be very streamlined. I wonder if because the Kavanaugh hearings were so contentious, that the Republicans try to streamline the process and not do the usual due diligence that you would do for a Supreme Court nominee and not really, go through with the rigorous process that we're accustomed to, because they don't have much time. There's an election approaching and they just want to get it done. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not the process remains the same as it has been.
You saw that there are, three senators, three Republicans would need to kind of go with the Democrats in order for this not to pass? Is that the number you've heard too, Renato?
No, I think it would be four. Because if the Senate is tied, then Mike Pence,
right,
the vice president, would break the tie.
Mm-hmm. So you heard from Senators Collins and Murkowski. They've said that they believe it should be determined after the election. They haven't said that they would not vote for the nominee, but they interesting enough, I think, but they have said that it should wait till after the election. Do you imagine that they will get the support for this to wait till after the election? If you had to sort of like read what you know about the situation, what do you think?
Here's what I think. I think that they're not going to get to the four. I think Democrats won't get to the four, number four that they need to get to. Lamar Alexander came out today and said that, he's a retiring Republican who they thought may have been somebody who could go the other way. He came out today and said that he supports a vote right now. Another issue, by the way, is, at least one of the two senators we just spoke about had some ambiguity in her statement in which, it's not clear whether or not that would also preclude a vote after the election, but during the lame duck period until the new president would be inaugurated. In other words, you could imagine a scenario where Trump loses and the Republicans nonetheless confirm his nominee between November and January. And I think that's something that could create even more division, which is why I suspect Republicans are trying to get this done now, because that could even be more difficult for them to do in the future.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens next, as if we needed more drama in 2020. There's one more thing, Renato, just one more thing.
We have to
talk about that. Yeah, thanks, Renato. Good talking with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.